Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Atlantia 2019 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Bertazzo, CEO of Atlantia. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening to everybody, and thank you very much for attending this conference call about 2019 results. I ask to join me also the full CEO of a main subsidiary, Roberto Tomasi, the CEO of Autostrade per l'Italia.
Good evening to everybody.
Gabriele Benedetto, CEO of Telepass. I'm so sorry.
Thank you, Carlo.
I'm used to call Gabriele as a name and not surname. We have also Peter Haifaro, the CEO of Abertis. Then we have also new CEO of ADR from a few hours, that is Troncone Marco. I'd like to introduce this kind of presentation that, first of all, I prefer to dedicate a lot of time about not the full year results 2019, but obviously, which is our priority for this year, taking account obvious that we are focused on reality and the unpredictable COVID-19 era. The presentation is divided in two parts. First of all, about the key priorities for this year, and the second part about 2019 figures. I think that page three, just to give you Atlantia right now at a glance, these main key figures. I don't like to spend a lot of time about each one figures, taking account that there is also a press release available for you with plenty of details, and the annual report will be available the day after tomorrow. In few words, we divide our key assets. First of all is Autostrade per l'Italia, then there is international motorways, including Abertis, Brazil and Chile. We have the airports, and last one, more important also, is Telepass. About this page, I think that we have to consider that 2019 for Autostrade per l'Italia was very important year. The company, the top management, launched the full transformation plan in term of process, in term of maintenance CapEx, and also in term of innovation, and focus on strategy and quality of services. New CEO is in place, is Roberto. There is also a new board of directors in place, and the majority of board directors independent. About international motorways, the acquisition of a majority of Abertis is done. In the team of Abertis dedicate a lot of time just to refinance 6 billion euro about the acquisition leverage that we did. In term operating results, I can say that is better than expected. In the following pages of presentation, we have some details. In term acquisition, M&A activities, I think it's important to remind that Abertis Group reached an agreement to acquire LCO in Mexico with a very important partner like GIC. Airports, we are living very difficult time right now, but I think that it's important to remind that Rome and Nice is top of mind destination. Rome Airport, in term of quality of services, achieved for second year the best in class for European and American airport for quality of services. Telepass, we dedicate a lot of time in the following page about Telepass. because it's increasing, obviously, the presence in the other European countries, especially with the business activities. Business is not a consumer, but the business trucks and so on. And also introducing new services like digital payment, mobility services, also insurance policies. There is a new board of directors of the Therapass in place for a few months, and we select key competence for in the industry, especially digital payment, insurance, and other services. I move fast to page 4, and just to have an overview, comprehensive overview about the different businesses that we have, dividing the Italian motorway, overseas motorway, airports, and Therapass. But I like to stress in this page the last line, that the first time I think that we present the group EBITDA divide for different business, but with different approach. It's not accounting approach, it's looking forward, which is the weight of each one business looking for the future EBITDA, take account of the expiry of the concession and the stakes that we own. If you look the page at the end, Italian motorway airport means at the end Rome airport and Therapass, close to 75% of the future EBITDA come from Italy. And I remark that Italy is a core country for Atlantia Group, and the strategy would be to continue growing outside Italy. And the international activities, there is 24%, maybe the large part of this 24% coming from Abertis, but just to remind that we own only 50% of Abertis. I think that there is a few words about the 2019 figures, and I like to spend more time on the following page, especially which is our key priority for the top, as top management of the company for 2020. And my priority of the team, I select four different items. One is to resolve as soon as possible the Autostrada per l'Italia issue after the general breach and unlock its capacity for future investments. There's a lot of work, a lot of details, and I prefer obviously spend a lot of time about these topics. Second is mediation about COVID-19. We are suffering, you know very well, that the traffic in these last weeks, we are speaking about, I don't know, last 70%, in some countries 80%, also the airport is completely closed because the traffic is down 95%. But we are working, I don't know, to put in place as much as possible, revise the capex, revise operating expenses, and thinking how to restart. Third is important liquidity right now, and we have a lot of information to provide you how we're dealing about the liquidity for the next months. Fourth, but just looking for the future, is how we intend to reorganize the group for the next coming year, and which is the strategy that we like to put in place. I turn the page, it's page 6, and I think that Roberto, is your time, and just to, I don't know, illustrate what does mean for us full transformation plan about Autostrada per l'Italia. I leave you the floor.
Okay, thank you Carlo and thank you to everybody. We start to explain what we have done in the 2019 and specifically starting from the transformation plan. As you can see from this chart, we have underlined which are the 7 pillars on which we have worked and for which we will work in the next 5 years up to the 2023. The first one is obviously our values. We have to confirm our values, integrity, work ethics, and all is around professionalism. This is very, very important for us, also due to what happened on the Morandi Bridge on August 18. The second one is the safety on all the aspects. We are speaking about the 360 degrees and we are speaking about the target to improve our safety level for the accidental rate on the roads. We have defined an important target to reduce the level of the safety index for our workers, but also for the workers for the company that works for Autostrade. For that, we are looking to decrease and to reach numbers that are 70% lower to the numbers on equivalent competitors in our market. For the operational excellence, we have worked a lot in the 2019, and we are still obliged to work, and we are still convinced to work in the next year to confirm and to have a clear view about all our infrastructure. As we will see later on, we have worked and we have made a lot of inspection. We have increased our expenditure for inspection, doubling, and so it's more than 100% of the level of expenditure that we have put to increase our level of inspection with third parties, and so with a stronger external engineering competence. For the digitalization is another key issue of our view. We have tried to imagine our future, and so we have defined a plan up to the 2038, that is the date of when we will expire the concession, and we are foreseeing more than 200 million euros on the digitalization. We are speaking about asset digitalization, and we are speaking about all the business intelligent digitalization in our activities. Still remain crucial for Autostrade, the customer, for the customer. Also for that, we are defining an important target to improve, starting throughout the customer journey, in order to improve our services, our level of services. I want to close with the green infrastructure, how we can try to sustain the mobility of the future. We have defined a plan in which we will install in more than 67 service area the electric charge. We are working on to produce directly electricity, and we are think to define a green area to reduce the carbon the carbon emission. Finally, the last one, but is the key point of our new view is development growth of all the human capital. For that, we are thinking to hire more than 1,000 people within the 2023. Moving to the numbers linked to maintenance and CapEx plan. Just to give you an idea of the possible impact of our plan, you can see we are thinking to increase mainly with the CapEx plan the additional level of employment of 25,000 of employee if we will put in place our CapEx plan. And for each euro that we will spend, there is a leverage in terms of GDP that is 2.46. For the maintenance expenses, we have revised and we have a strong confidence about our viaduct, the status of our viaducts and bridges. We have made a double check of the 100 viaducts and the bridge of our infrastructure. We have launched a deep assessment of tunnels. We have already mostly completed the first part, and we think to complete the deep assessment within the 2020. Finally, we are revising completely our maintenance standards and our paving works. Just to give you the numbers compared to what happened in the past, we are work and we think to renovate more than 40%. We are increasing more than 40% all the road surface renovation. We are planned within 2023 more than 500 intervention of main bridges, and we are scheduling 130 works on overpasses. For the CAPEX, we have revised several times in the 2019 the CAPEX plan. At the end, in order to be sure that this is the final target, we have revised up to 13.2 billion euro the total investment plan scheduled in the next 18 years. There are still 1.3 billion euro under discussion with the Ministry of the Infrastructure, but that we are completely open to discuss with them in order to increase and to improve this investment plan. Let me say finally about that the network modernization is one of the key issues. We have understand from what happened in Morandi Bridge that there were also the necessity to revise completely the strategy how to move the infrastructure to the 2038 without any criticalities. Lastly, we have already discussed, Carlo explained that the settlement with the government is obviously a key issue for Autostrade per l'Italia. Here we have underlined which are what we have proposed to the government in the 5th of March, the 2.9 billion euro proposed is a proposal that we will see more complex than that, but these are the mainly key figures of this proposal. The first one is the 1.5 billion euro that mainly is due to tariff discount for target customers along the concession life and additional not remunerated CAPEX that we are open to support. For this specific point, it is open the discussion with the ministry in order to define better how to fix these numbers in the specific chapter of what we have proposed. There is another important numbers that are the 700 million euros that we have already included in our proposal and that you have already seen in the maintenance plan, in which we have proposed to the ministry to increase our level of maintenance service without any compensation on the tariff. Finally, there is an amount that we have already supported for the Genova community, and that we are open to increase in order also to include other measurements of the for Genova community. The sum of these three elements make the 2.9 billion euros that we have already covered in the provision of the 2018 and the 2019. I deliver the floor to...
Thank you very much, Roberto. I'd like to cover page 9 and just to go in more detail about the proposal to the government. In terms of settlement amount, Roberto already described the details of about 2.9 billion euro amounts and different allocation. And our key points of the transaction and the discussion with the government is the new rules introduced, so-called mille-proroghe law degree, and at the end of the last year, they modified the early termination clause. Especially, I think that we have to come back at the general clause that cover two most important points from financial point of view. First, the indemnification have to base to market value of the assets, and second, the factory termination has to upon the payment of the indemnification. It's very important for the market. It's very important to take account of the company if put in place this kind of huge investment plan for the next 6-7 years we are speaking about a gap funding of higher than 11-12 billion euro, and we have to cover this amount through the debt capital markets, and absolutely we have to regain the investment grade from the agency rating, just to preventing and to achieve the enough amount from financial point of view and access to capital markets. It's a key point for us, it's a key point of under discussion with the government, and I think that we have to reiterate the key elements for a long-term investor like Autostrade per l'Italia to have the plenty access of the markets. Then last April, the company presented to the grantor a so-called PEF, or Economic Financial Plan. We are waiting for an answer from the government. But in any case, for the first time, the company presents to the government, to the grantor, a draft of the guidelines, a draft of the path in line with the new regulation provided by the Transportation Authority in Italy. This kind of plan, for our point of view, obviously, granted the plan return on investment rates rating for the company, and we introduce also some requests for a compensation from a COVID-19 impact that will be close to 1 billion less revenues, is the best estimate that we have right now. And we are working with the guarantor also about this kind of form of compensation. Page 10, just a few weekly impact of the COVID in our motorways and also the airports. You know that the company at the beginning of March decides to go details weekly basis about the main subsidiary traffic impact. We make a sensitivity. And assuming that the lockdown partly released from May and slow recovery in the starting from Q3, maybe early in the motorways and after in the airports, And in this kind of sensitivity, we, I don't know, assume that overall for 2020 compared of the traffic in 2019, 30% less for motorway traffics, and overall 50% in terms of airport passengers. Our best estimate right now, the global impact of the year, is $3 billion in losses of revenues. And if we turn page, we are giving you also the sensitivity in terms of what does mean in cash. For on consolidated basis, we are speaking about fund from operation less cash, more or less €2 billion. There is a detail in the pages, maybe there is some saving on concession fee. We are working about to reduce the OPEX, more or less €300 million at group level, and also in terms of reduction of the CAPEX, means delay some project that is not needed, confirming in any case any maintenance program or CAPEX linked to the security of our network. This is our best, is not guidance, is not our best estimate for the time being. Obviously, time to time, we have to each quarter update these kind of figures looking forward, which is the real impact months by months. The next page is very important because we are thinking about which is the new normal, and that maybe means more individual mobility, but I leave the floor to Benedetto Gabriele, the CEO of Telepass. Telepass for us is now our innovation at Tech Lab.
Thank you, Carlo. Let's talk about the new scenario for mobility. After several months and weeks where we are studying the new scenario, we are foreseeing right now an in mobility that will be more individual than before. We come through years of pushing of sharing mobility around in a new business model. We foresee right now a more individual, for sure more green, and then more clean mobility. Let's talk about the five key trends that represent and confirm how this group is positioned in a uniqueness way to deal with the new scenario. The first pillar we are addressing right now is the frictionless experience, something that I would like to call touchless payments. We are investing in a new touchless experience, something that very old experience like Telepass 30 years ago could be more actual today. And the new payments we are starting right now on the Telepass Pay platform are ready to be connected with more and more merchant, retailer, toll charger operator, ready to innovate their business model. Also, the travel journey of our users and customers will be affected by the COVID-19. Drive-through, driving in a new retailer approach, something that sounds drive, put in the center once again the car, the new electronic charge point, the biometric control, the wheelchair shopping for the airports, technology, digitalization of the infrastructure started to be a topic more and more relevant for all the group. Smart mobility is another wave. I love to say that the way our user and consumption, Italian people, European people, are changing their habits, their consumption of mobility. What I mean? We are studying some data from China after the lockdown test, and we see that, for example, public transportation still be in crisis, and there is no recovery on that side. More effective the sharing mobility similar to the key scooter, the bike scooter, this kind of stuff. And we see data, quite challenging data, about the willingness to buy a second car for some city car, let's say, city scooter, this kind of new mobility. We strongly believe that this kind of smart mobility will be affected also by data. More data means that smart city will be able in the future to collect data for all the users from all the infrastructure in order to control the access to every kind of services of mobility. And the pre-booking of mobility services would be another way to be to drive to a smarter mobility. What I mean with pre-booking, today when we buy a ticket, it's a ticketing available for all the buses, tube that is upcoming. It would be more and more important thanks to the app and the technology to connect the ticketing to a exact or precise slot of usage of these kind of services. More conscious travel, it's a new travel experience for sure. As a group, we have some benefit to be in some of top of mind destination. It will be, we are foreseeing right now more domestic tourism, more related to the car drive, medium distance right now, or rather than a long distance. The new digital era is something that we need to deal with quite soon. The new digital data is able to provide us more example of tailor-made services that we can go to offer to all these new mobility people who are facing a different challenge for mobility. One example is quite well embedded in the figures we will discuss later on for Telepass. There are, for example, the insurance platform that make able to send some instant insurance to the customer to cover specific risk in a specific situation of mobility. The other topic is how we can leverage from the experience of Telepass to enlarge the property platform towards and across new partnerships. Tenants, retailers, Autogrill, for example, will be the next way to be integrated to make a mobility experience more smarter from one side, but also to control and to reduce the congestion of people using those kind of services. The last pillar is the new logistic. Logistic, maybe you already know, but trucks never stop during this kind of crisis. Never stop means that trucks are more and more sophisticated in terms of logistic needs to manage a more efficient way, and the e-commerce boom opened a new area of business related to the last mile management. Those are plans where the group is quite well positioned and where we are working for each company or each subsidiaries of Atlantia Groups for the next days, next months. Thank you, Carlo.
Thank you, Gabriele. Very interesting about the new normal. And I like to cover page 13. This is a liquidity profile and funding. We divide the liquidity profile company by company. As you know, each one of these company, this page has a rating. And first of all, starting from Atlantia as a holding company, no debt maturity before at the end of the next year. And the cash available is right now 4.1 billion euro. And the maturity for the next at the end by 2021 is 3.2 billion euro. Autostrada per l'Italia is different, and you know, as stressed before, the rating right now is WB minus, coming from the Mille Proroghe low degree, and we have two action here. First is maybe benefit from the new such a credit line that is granted by the Italian states up to 1.250 million euro, and then as you can read in the press release, also Atlantia commits to provide up to 900 million in the next 18 months. Aeroporto di Roma, there is no issue, but in any case they are working from achieving some agreement from capital markets and banking, and maybe also benefit from such a credit line up to 250 million euro. Abertis Infrastructure is a holding company, There is a plan of liquidity, is 5 billion euro, is no issue for next years. And in any case, is a company that had direct access to the markets. The acquisition of LCO in Mexico, with some specific financial agreement dedicated up to 1.2 billion euro. The subsidiary of Abertis in France is HIT Group, and there is some debt, 2.1, that will expire in the next 2 years, but in any case, the company has direct access to the financial market, to debt capital market, as demonstrated last Friday that they issued $600 million bond to a very, very reasonable price. I move on, just to have more time, to Q&A, to page 14. Is four pillars that we have, I have in mind, we have in mind for the next years. And first of all, I dedicate some words about organization, what does it mean for us, for me. Is I don't know, I think that in the I'm working about a plan to divide the task for Atlantia as a holding company and focus on strategy across fertilization of skills and synergy. Talapas is an example, but in the same time, to dedicate the operation, the capital deployment is a task of the board directors, of the management of the single operating company. I stress at the beginning, we are renewing the board director of each one, our subsidiary, because I think that it's important to have key board directors, key top management inside the operating company. And as I said before, Talapas is crossover digital platform, and in the future, the role of Talapas will be very, very, very important. In terms of people, we are working around to introduce new talent, new key manager, to reinforce our team, taking account also the challenges that we have in future. And for me, people is not only top management. People, as I said before, is also the right board member inside the operating company. I dedicate a lot of time, for example, to select the new board member of Talapas the last 2 months. And in the future, I think that we have to improve also in the next, in the our operating company. Growth. Growth, first of all, before to speak of growth, I like to remind that we have four key action for 2020, as I described before. And sure, the growth strategy will be focused in our core business, that is transportation infrastructures, but mainly overseas. But only we are looking for, I don't know, our industry linked to infrastructures. Capital rotation is important. As you can see, that we are looking for co-investors in each one platform, long-term investors. I think that the first one will be Talapas. Talapas is ready to go. And we dedicate in the last month, time to prepare the company for this step. And the second one may be after achievement with the government could be Autostrade per Italia. Right now, the process is at very, very preliminary, but in any case, any kind of new investment will be possible only if the regulatory framework will be stabilized. About ADR, I think ADR, maybe is a topic that we can discuss from 2021. There are a lot of questions about minority, majority, and so on. I can say that as a first step, I think that minority stake is enough. And in second phase, we can consider also in portfolio rotation also the majority, but it's not for the next years. Another point that I like, how we are looking for investors. I think there's a lot of discussion about this point. But Atlantia as a group operates in the infrastructure and concession business and operates public transportation services. What does it mean? It means a lot of things. We believe that shareholder engagement with a long-term investor is a key for our business for two main reasons. First of all, bring cross-fertilization idea, competence, innovation, market presence, opportunity, and so on. But there is also a benefit for the larger consensus among local government and authorities. This is the two key messages that I like to share with you when we speak about to involve our co-investors. The idea around this world is shareholder engagements and consensus among the local government and authorities. We dedicate also time, ESG is important for us, and it's not only environment, social, government, the dynamics, it means a lot of things. Strength, for example, risk control, risk management is something that we did. And we we hired in the last few months the new internal auditors, each one company in Autostrade per l'Italia, in Telepass, in ADR, and also in Atlantia. I think that looking the time, I leave the floor to our CFO Tiziano Ceccarani to some comments about 2019 results.
Thank you very much, Carlo. If we move to page 16, we reported our EBITDA for 2019. First of all, we comment quickly the reported results. The group reported a 5.7 billion of EBITDA versus the 6.7 billion of last year. But as my colleagues previously commented, most of this reduction, approximately 1.1 billion, refer of to the 1.5 billion provision within the perimeter of Autostrade per l'Italia as a consequence of the decision, of course, of submitting and committing the company to the proposal of the Ministry of Transportation Infrastructure. So if you net the effect of 2019 results of this provision and the same provision accounted in 2018, the EBITDA improved by 1% on like-for-like basis. Going through the segment contribution, the higher contribution comes from the Abertis Group activities, whereby all of the concessionaires, both in Spain, France, and in Latin America, reported increase in tariff and traffic. The same contribution, 100 million, comes from the toll road concession of Atlantia, so Chile, Brazil, and Poland. And a positive contribution comes also from the Italian airport activities. The only contribution in a negative performance comes from the Autostrade per l'Italia perimeter, but as Roberto was anticipating before, this is a clear consequence of the decision to improve both the maintenance and the O&M cost in 2019 and the provision for the 700 million O&M cost again, included in the proposal to the Ministry of Transportation and Infrastructure. We then prepare a focus on the group net debt. which we deem appropriate. It's a significant reduction, 2 billion reduction in the net debt value. We move from 38.8 billion of last year results to the 36.7 this year. As you can see, most of the contribution comes from the very good performance of the funds from operation within the group, 5 billion euro overall, 50% of which coming from the activities out of Italy. So 5 billion of this FFO comes from the Abertis and the other toll road concessionaires outside of Italy. Together with this contribution, we take advantage of the 1.2 billion reduction coming from the sale of the Hispasat satellite communication business of Abertis. And the two cash flow were able to offset both the capex needs of the group of 1.8 billion and the dividends of 1.7 billion, of which 0.7 billion paid in May to the Atlantia shareholder. The other main change refers to financial instrument and net working capital chain, which we do not deem appropriate to as significant in this main reduction, a record of 2 billion overall.
Okay. Thank you, Tiziano. Thank you very much. In the next page, we have one page for each one main subsidiary. I ask to Roberto to start with Autostrade per l'Italia and focus, I think, in the box regarding the action to mitigate COVID-19 that we have in place. And my suggestion and to leave more time to Q&A. Thank you.
Okay, really few words regarding the EBITDA. We have a reduction. We have already discussed about the increase of maintenance activities and more provision for repair and replacement, and the 1.5 billion euro already discussed. For the action to mitigate the COVID-19, we are working to try to saving all the cost not linked with maintenance activities and not linked with activities for the generally for the safety. We have applied the 9 weeks temporary layoff for more than 4,300 of our labor, and we are support even if the situation is critical also for Autostrade, but we are trying to support of the business of oil and food contractors in order to maintain the level of services in our grid.
Thank you, Roberto. I ask to Pepe to introduce the Abertis page and the focus, obviously, for the same recommendation about 2020 mitigation.
Okay, thank you, Carlo. Talking about Abertis, Abertis has achieved 3.7 billion in 2019. To be fully comparable with 2018, we have done some adjustment due to the perimeter, Forex and other accounting criteria, and we have achieved 3.64 billion in 2019, fully comparable with the 3.41 in 2018, which represent an increase of 7%. If we move on to the key highlight in 2019, I would like to remark first the good traffic performance in our portfolio, growing traffic in all the countries except in Chile. Chile was heavily affected by the October protests and some social strikes. Excluding this effect was 1.4. And also in 2019, we did significant progress in expenses with saving 100 million versus 2018. We launched a significant volume of bond issue in Spain. Abertis was the main issuer in Spain with 5.9 billion bond issuance. And the last key point to highlight was the acquisition of the 70% stake in RCO. It's a Mexican company in partnership with GIC. This transaction is still pending one administrative approval. And focusing more in 2020, I would like to highlight 3 points. The first is as a consequence of the negative impact of the COVID-19, we have to do more effort in expenses, and our intention is to reduce 113 million in operating expenses versus 2019. I mean, we have to compensate some of the negative effect at EBITDA level. The second topic to highlight is the Abertis board director and the annual general assembly has decided to pay only the 50% of the dividend expected, amount 437 million euros, and that we are going to pay this month of April. We are applying a very conservative approach, and we prefer to see what is the full impact in rating as a consequence of the COVID-19, and we try to preserve our rating as an investment grade. And depending on what could be the evolution of the rating assessment, we will decide at the end of the year to pay or not the complementary 50%. And finally, we continue very active in the debt capital market. We just launched 2 bonds. The first was launched by Abertis Infra in January, 300 million euros. And recently, last Friday, Abertis, the French subsidiary HIT, launched also another bond, 600 million. That shows our capacity to call the bond market in very good market condition and allow us to extend the maturity with no significant maturity in the short terms. That's all related to Abertis.
Thank you very much, Pepe. Interesting to think about the time that we have. I move on to the airports, and I ask to Marco Troncone to cover the page about ADR and Nice Airport.
Okay, thank you, Carlo. So I will be focusing right to the 2020 outlook and, of course, all the actions which have been put in place to react to the COVID crisis. As most airports in Europe, of course, the ADR reacted by closing basically the whole infrastructure possible. So overall, the Ciampino Airport was closed altogether, as well as the Terminal 1 and most Terminal 3 in Fiumicino, and so operating with a minimum availability of capacity. And also internal costs and external costs were of course, addressed with application of temporary layoff, so Cassa Integrazione Straordinaria, for about 1,000 resources out of the roughly 3,000 resources of the company. And also CAPEX is being addressed with a revision of the CAPEX budget for the year, with a reduction ranging between, at the moment, between 30 and 40% versus the amount spent in 2019. It's also to be underlined that the regulated revenue deficit incurred this year and next year will be partially recovered in the following regulatory period as provided for in the concession agreement. There's also a reference to the nationalization of Alitalia, which would be definitely an event expected to happen in 2020. The government has announced the constitution of a NewCo within June, therefore the sales process has been discontinued. With the acquisition with the NewCo, with the aim to operate up to 90 aircraft when demand, of course, will be recovering. And that also follows similar state aid interventions throughout Europe, in France, in Germany, and elsewhere. About the new challenges, quite clearly those are the one posed by the COVID crisis, and namely the impact of the new safety rules. I'm referring to social distancing in the terminal, which is feasible, possibly a bit costly, and onboard aircraft, which is of course more worrying, as well as the evolution of the airline market, which today is, remains uncertain, as the supply is of course stopped, as most airlines have grounded all their freight. Going to page 22, Nice is a bit more of the same, I'm afraid. Therefore, the actions are basically the same. So they're closing down terminal infrastructure and discontinuing variable costs, and addressing also fixed costs with le chômage partiel, which means basically, again, temporary layoff for 85% of the workforce, as well as CapEx are being drastically reduced. One reference has to be made, though, on the tariff evolution, which in 2019 explained a reduction in revenues because of the decision by the Independent Supervisory Authority to cut tariffs by 33% as from May 2019, while confirming in full the validity and the application of the dual-till model. The authority considered to apply this cut basically put simple as a transition from the single till to the dual till. This means that, of course, that cut is not permanent, but will be, there will be a progressive recovery expected to start happening from this autumn.
Thank you very much, Marco. Now the last one page is regarding Caritas. Gabriele, please go.
Thank you, Carlo. Some few comments about the 2019. Telepass is continuing its patch of growth. On the EBDA consolidated, is having a 6.4% of growth, but much more interesting, I mean, the 6.7 million of customer, unique customer, that are growing out of the 5%. By the end of 2019, we had 12 million of active payment means around Europe. In terms of breakdown of revenues, we are reducing the dependency from the tolling, even though the tolling is growing, is still growing abroad, outside from Italy. We reach from the 2019 11 countries covered by our tolling solution. The mobility business line is growing around 20% in terms of revenues, and the tolling in the insurance services only just 1%, but the quality of products behind is contributing to the EBDA growth more than 5%. We are changing products, more quality in the product, which means more profitability. In terms of key highlights, I would like to remark a few points. We are working to scale up the new mobility platform, the mobility as a service platform, who are reaching 500,000 of active customer that are not using anymore one services, but they are using several services out of the 21 different services we had launched in the last years. Strong growth in terms of transaction volume. I would like to provide you two figures. Tolling is still growing. It's still growing thanks to our new European country. The foreign country is growing, but more and more the engagement, the number of people having a Telepass opportunity is starting to use more and more our technology. Even though in the new mobility, we would like to show for the first time how is big in terms of transaction volume, more than 200 million with 21% of growth, which means that we are having more engagement in the client base to use other services. The penetration is increasing, and this is quite good news for the next year. In 2019, we also launched our InsurTech platform as a pilot phases. As you probably know, in the last 10 years, we were selling just one policy, which was the roadside assistance. Right now, we have launched a new platform, and in the pilot phase, we were able to manage 10,000 policies. Providing you some feedback about 2020, the main comment is the resiliency of our business plan. In the first quarter, we are consolidating a guidance which is more or less aligned to the budget we discussed at the end of the last year. Because our business model is based on a subscription fee model. the resiliency, the low perception of cash disbursement from our customer means our resiliency, and we are confirming our trend. Our business plan 2020-2023 is confirmed and basically is based on three main directions. We would like to continue to be a leader in terms of tolling, increasing it to reach the number of 20 countries covered all around Europe. New business segments have been covered with more attention by us. We were focused on the consumer side, but business and corporation still have an uncovered need of mobility, efficient way of mobility. We will launch specific solution on this segment, especially providing them an VAT recovery, which is quite efficient. We will launch in the next month, after summer, I would say, the first onboard unit, connected onboard unit, thanks to technology from 4G technology, which means that we are entering in a more complex mobility ecosystem, providing a new services around that, but we will be more than ready to scale up also insurance services thanks to new boxes. COVID-19, we discussed before, so the statement is even more green but more cleaner. This is our statement. No more comments on that. Maybe it's more interesting to say how we are increasing the number of policies sold from the beginning of the year. Just in the first quarter, we were able to sell 20,000 of policies, which means that 1% of our customers already are buying policies from us in the first quarter, and accordingly, they experience expiring date of policies. It's a really good news. I mean, we would think that for the next quarter we will be able to bring from 1% of penetration to 5% of penetration.
Thank you very much, Gabriele. We respect more or less our schedule, and in 1 hour we cover the presentation, and I think that we can leave the room to the Q&A.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Nicolò Pestina with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, everyone. I would have a first question on the negotiations for a settlement with the government. I'd like to know if you can provide any detail on the negotiations, on the timing, and maybe which kind of feedback you received, if any, from your proposal. Second question on the potential sale of a stake of ASP. I wonder if this is related to the settlement with the government as suggested by the press, or is it's a different story? And if you plan to retain the control of ASP or you are open to sell more than 50%. And last question on the capital rotation strategy. Would you feel comfortable in adding more debt to the current amount you already have today? And if so, until what extent you would feel comfortable? Thank you.
Thank you very much. About the first questions, as we indicated before, the proposal, the comprehensive proposal of the Stato per Italia was sent to at the beginning of March, 5 March, more precision, and there is continuing discussion meeting with the government, but we are weighing the formal answer for them, and we hope obviously that take account that they are examining the great attention of our comprehensive proposal
but we understand that several government entities involved and they need time. We hope obviously get that in the next week. We are request we can sit at the table with the government officials, and we start first of all from the new business plan that we present, but also about the revised version of Article 35 of the Milleproroghe. About the second questions, if understood well, looking for the process of involvement, new co-investors about Autostrade per Italia. We are very, very at preliminary stage. I think that as a first, as I said before, any kind of involvement of new potential co-investors, national or international, will be possible only after the achieving agreement with the government and stabilize the framework, the tariff and the concession framework. Majority and minority, as I said before, I think the first phase is important to involve some co-investors as minority stakes. Right now, Atlantia own 80%. We have the possibility to reduce our stakes up to 50%, but and to share governance opportunity with our partners. I think that the stake close to 40% is a very, very important stake. The last question about the strategy and debt, if I understood well, the questions, our idea, I think and assume that we are speaking about Atlantia level in terms of debt. You know very well that the existing debt at the Atlantia level coming from a Berti transaction. Usually, the Atlantia in the past year was a positive net financial position. I think that is good for a holding company to have cash, net cash, and but just to realize and to complete the transaction about Berti's, we use leverage. But in the coming year, I think that take also in account the strategy to involve our co-investors. The proceeds can be used for growth, can be used for dividend, can be used also for reduction of debt.
All right, very clear. Thanks a lot.
The next question is from Elodie Rall with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, and thank you for your presentation. I have a couple of questions, if I may. So first of all, could you clarify the proposal? I haven't fully understood if, on the one hand, the 2.9 billion of new proposal that you have explained to us here, is it in addition to the 2 billion of CapEx that you have previously communicated on? So basically, can you clarify that basically we're looking at 4.9 billion of total proposal versus where we were before the collapse of Genoa Bridge? So that's my first question. Second, I didn't fully understand what you expect in terms of COVID compensation. Did you say 1 billion, and is this coming from, is it a request that you've put towards the Italian government? So how would you be compensated on that? So basically, are we to understand that out of the 4.9 billion proposal that you've made, you would expect to get 1 billion basically compensation from COVID? Sorry if I missed something there. And lastly, on dividend, so I understand you're not paying any dividend this year, But if your proposal is approved, can you give us a bit of color about what your strategy on dividend would be going forward? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I try to answer the first questions about 2.9 billion euro and the CapEx program. You can see the page of a presentation. Let me looking for that is page 7. CapEx program is a total amount for the next year up to 13.2 or 14.5 billion euro. There is some overlap with 1.5 billion? No, there is no overlapping. And maybe because 1.5 billion euro will be almost dedicated to tariff discount for target customer along life concession, and there is no overlapping. 1.5 billion is one shot amount. The second question is about COVID. If I understood well, the sensitivity is a sensitivity, and based on information that we receive also from experts, different countries, different transportation, toll road, airport, and so on. This is our best estimate that we can do. But it's not a target, it's not an outlook, because we have to update quarter by quarter this kind of estimation. You ask also the form of a compensation for COVID-19 impact, and I think that there is some discussion with the association of the Italian toll road, but I leave the floor to Roberto just to cover the point which kind of form we are thinking or we are proposing to the government, just to cover the point, taking account that we are speaking about a lot of money and is an unpredictable event.
Yeah, so we are discussing internally with the other concession in order how to solve these specific issues. As explained by Carlo before, we are expecting an impact on the revenues that even if not stable numbers, between 800 million euros up to 1 billion euro in the 2019. Compared to the new tariff 2020, compared to the new tariff regulation, we can ask to balance this amount. And so we have point out with a formal letter to the ministry how to try to solve this specific issue. You can understand that this discussion is not easy in this moment. Consider that we have to understand how the new regulation of the authority can be applied compared to the impact of the economical effect of the COVID. And so we are asked this meeting with the ministry, and we are looking to understand how to try to face this specific item.
Thank you, Roberto. About the last question, dividend policy for the future. The board of directors today proposed no payment dividend for the next May to the shareholder, and I think that. For the dividend, the question is for full year 2021, means that the dividend paid in May 2022, but I don't know, to fix right now the dividend policy, just to have a prudent approach, I think it's too early to say or to speak.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Enrico Bartoli with MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one is related to the financial plan that you presented to the government with application of the ART regulation. If you can provide us some details that the application of this regulation could have on your financial plan, maybe in terms of tariff evolution, and in terms of returns compared to what can be expected applying the current terms of the concession agreement. Then I have a question regarding if you can share us your view about the airport business, because what we are seeing is a kind of a transformation on the way our people will fly over the next quarters, and also the experience in the airport will be different for measures, safety procedures, or whatever. Can you show us a bit how you think that this business could change over the next quarters? If you have a view on a possible recovery on the passengers, and if considering the situation of the airways companies, if you think that some significant discounts will have to be granted to them. The other question is related to the debt. If you can share us a bit some color on the covenants that you have, because of course this year there will be an increase in the net debt and EBITDA ratio, and so if you would have expect some redemption, possible redemption of debt. And last, on the recovery on traffic and passengers from the impact of the COVID, you mentioned what is mainly expected to happen in toll roads in Italy. I understand that in ADR there will be the possibility to recover this impact in the next regulatory period. If you can share us some possible recoveries in other countries. Thank you.
Sorry. Thank you very much. I think the first question about details of the business plan presented to the guarantor in line with the new regulation in the resolution of last June by ART. I think that Roberto, you can cover better the question.
Yeah, I don't want to go in the detail, because really is very complex plan. There are important issue that we have underlined, speaking about the level of the maintenance activities that we have already foreseen for the 2000 after the 2023, the level that you have seen in the figures that we have shown. There is an important issue about the level of the productivity foreseen by the authority. We have tried to match the what requested by the authority, even if there are important impact in terms of reduction or potential reduction. So before to say that this is or these are the final figures, I think it is important to share with the grantor our position. What I want to underline is the level of the investment, of the return on the investment that we have foreseen for the new investment, the WACC. We have completely accepted the WACC foreseen by the authority for all the new investment, and in our industrial plan we have also foreseen for the Genova bypass to apply the new WACC foreseen by the authority in order to reach an agreement with the government. Finally, what we have confirmed in this plan that we have to maintain the same level of the return of the investment for the investment already done. So this is a principle that we have clearly underlined in our economical plan. I don't want to say what is the tariff increase because the discussion is still pending, and so we will move in the next week to try to understand the possible increase of the tariff. Obviously, as we have already said,
there is the criticalities about the traffic, because in the traffic we have foreseen an increase, an average increase of 1.2% in the next period, and so we have to understand in the next month which will be the COVID effect.
Thank you very much, Roberto. About the second question, the impact of COVID in the airline business and airport business, and which is what we have in mind about the way of the future airline industry. I think that the best people to guide to respond to the question, the answer to the question, is Marco.
Thank you, Carlo. Yes. The question, I think, was about the impact on the business model, the operating model of airports now in this crisis. Certainly, the airport is now is getting organized in order to respond effectively to the prescriptions that are envisaged now from now on, which of course are mainly based on social distancing in the airport facilities. Therefore, the traffic flows, the passengers flows, will be managed in such a way not to, to avoid mixing with the one with the others, and avoid queuing, and avoid again too little distancing between persons. Plus, there will be a number of actions in order to ensure sanification and sanitization of the spaces, as well as other processes in order to probably check temperature of passengers in the entrance of the building and at the boarding gate. As far as the impact that will be in place in the airlines business model, that is a bit more difficult to say, as still there is not probably a common view in force regarding the eventual potential distancing in the aircraft cabin, which of course poses some doubts regarding the commercial sustainability of the operations. Regarding the revenue recovery, which I think was the second question on this on this matter, as I said, the concession agreement of ADR provides for a portion of the traffic risk to be avoided by the concessioner, and that is the traffic deficit in excess of 5% over the 5 years period, which shall be recovered as an allowed cost in the following regulatory period, and that is for the Aeroporti di Roma concession. But there's also another provision also in the NIS concession agreement, which basically says that in its Article 74, that in case of unbalancing of the economic equilibrium of the concession, of the economic balance of the concession, then there is the possibility for the concessioner to call for a rebalance, for restoring such equilibrium, either through a tariff adjustment or through cash reimbursement or through other modification of the concession contract, which may also include an extension of the concession duration. How this provision will be utilized, again, is a bit too early to say.
Thank you very much, Marco. And if I remember well, the last question was about the covenant, financial covenants inside the group. I leave the floor to Tiziano.
Thank you very much, Carlo. With respect to covenants, of course, we have different covenant, financial covenants within the financial agreement within the group. Except for the Abertis, which is in a safer position, most of the Italian company, ASPI first, and then of course the Aeroporti, we are really monitoring very, very closely these covenants, which will be checked and verified within the beginning 2021 with the financial statement 2020. Of course, most of the concerns comes from the situation of the COVID potential impact. We mentioned before the sensitivity we run. Within this sensitivity, we can be in a safe position up to a certain level. I guess on top of the level, it's a market situation, not just an Atlanta situation. And of course, we already started discussion with most of the financial institution of the ASPI. Financials and IDR to be ready to discuss a waiver or any other solution to give support to the financial institution and avoid the default of the covenants beginning 2020. The first, again, this is only in the worst case scenario and in very, very stressed situation.
Thank you. Sorry, just the last on the possible recovery of traffic also in France, Spain, Brazil, very quickly, just to have an idea of the possibility to recover the impact of the COVID.
About the other countries, is very there is some delay, as you know. The impact of COVID, they have few weeks compared to Europe. For the time being, we can, in general statement about LATAM, we can say that the impact seem less negative compared to Europe. What does mean? Means that if our weaker point is approximately in the last week 75-80%, for the time being in LATAM and like Chile and like Brazil, the general impact overall of 2020 could be close to 20, 22, 23, but please, it's very, very preliminary estimate. But there is also Roberto Mengucci with me. I don't know, Roberto, if we want to cover some specific points about Chile and Brazil.
Yeah, sure. As Mr. Bertazzo was saying, the COVID impact affected Latin America assets with some weeks of delay compared to Europe, approximately three weeks. The overall impact has been milder compared to Europe. In a rough number in Brazil, we are experiencing a traffic decrease year to date in the range of 10-12%. In Chile, is a little bit higher, around 15%. So much lower compared to Europe. This is also because of the nature of the assets, especially in Brazil, extra-urban assets with point-to-point connection. Traffic is suffering a little bit more in Chile. This is also because of the contribution of the urban assets, the network we have in Santiago del Chile area, where some restrictions are very, there is a lockdown of the entire areas in the country, so basically no traffic at all. We expect once the limitation will be removed in the next weeks, a fast recovery.
Thank you very much, Roberto. I don't know the
Thank
next
you.
One.
The next question is from Stephanie Dutt with the Royal Bank of Canada. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thanks for answering my question. The first one is regarding your sensitivity analysis. So assuming 30% decline in motorway and 50% decline in airport passengers, leading to a 3 billion revenue loss. Can you please elaborate a little bit how that translates into EBITDA? And I know that on slide 11, you have given us a little bit more detail on the potential 2 billion cash flow loss. But I was curious to understand what your assumptions were in terms of increased OPEX, or not increased, but to which extent the government support for technical employment will allow you to not have a very strong operating deleverage. And my second question, please, is regarding your stake in Getlink. Could you please let us know what your strategy is and if you were looking to raise some cash, if you are still committed long-term to that stake or if you could consider selling it down? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I start with the answer about the last questions. Gatling, our strategy for I think that we have more or less 25% of voted writing. The stakes is close to 15%. We apparently remain the largest shareholder for right now. And in general terms, I can say that Gatling is a strategic option for Atlantia, and for the time being, we will wait to understand and unlock its potential. And you know very well that also the company is affected by COVID-19, but looking forward, I think that Gatling is part of Atlantia Group in terms of the stakes nice to have in our portfolio. About the first question is sensitivity. Wow, it's very difficult right now to go in detail and spread out company by company the impact at the EBITDA. I think that the figures that you see in page 11 is important at the end to cover the point about the cash, and I'm not care about the account impact. And we are working again, I repeat, about OPEX, about CAPEX, but to have a sensitivity at different level of P&A, like EBITDA or net profit, right now is very, very early. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Stefano Gamberini with Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. Three quick questions, if I may. First of all, regarding this new RAB-based tariff system, you challenged at the beginning this system. Could you help us to understand what are the main differences between what the regulator introduced and this proposal that you submitted to the government in terms of RAB and in terms of also tariff system? What I mean is, versus the current tariff system, do you see significant differences in terms of tariff growth in for coming year, considering your CapEx plan? The second question, still on this topic, all the CapEx that we see at page the slide number 7, and also the maintenance costs are now remunerated with the new tariff system, excluding the 1.5 billion euros you said at the beginning, that is part of the compensation you submitted to the government. Then the second question, should the agreement with the government avoid any future risk from the investigation and the trial on Aspi Bridge? What I mean is, now at the end of this agreement, do you expect that no risk are in the future regarding the your concession from the collapse of Genoa and the inquiry on that? And the very last question regarding would this agreement with the government on Aspi be enough to upgrade Aspi and Atlantia debt ratings to investment grade, or do you need some other steps in order to come back to the investment grade that, if I'm not wrong, is your main target right now? Thanks.
Thank you. About the first questions, as Roberto said before, there is a lot of details, and the new remuneration scheme provided by the authority is
completely different. I think that we are used to thinking about the RAB system. And but the principle at the end, we know very well the system because ADR already applied the RAB system, and our subsidiaries around the world working with the RAB system. But the main difference at the end coming from the interpretation, what does it mean to maintain the same remuneration about the old investments? This is, I think, the key points. The first key point. The second one is about productivity, because the authority presented to AutoStradaItalia 2.2% in terms of productivity annually basis, that is very, very high, and we are discussing with them to find the right numbers. Productivity means a lot of things, but sure, the position of the company is to exclude, in any case, the maintenance cost from this kind of productivity. Because, as Roberto said before, for the next 5 years, we have to increase, more or less 40% the amount of maintenance. About the second question, is if there is some risk in case of achievement of agreement with the government about general case. Of course, based on information and the discussion that we had, if there is an agreement with the government, there is no risk of a future revocation from the guarantor linked to the general breach. The last one is about CapEx and maintenance cost. You know very well that in the previous concession scheme, there is some amount of a CapEx linked to the so-called 1997 program is not remunerated, and some our CapEx coming from 2004 and 2007 agreement with the government is remunerated. The new system obviously have to provide in blended way at the end the same scheme, because no difference. Because if the principle is that the old CapEx amount already done have the same remuneration that provided the old tariff scheme. About the maintenance, difference, and will become in the new scheme as OPEX remunerated.
And regarding the investment grade, once you reach an agreement with the government, what do you expect?
Well, we are confident, yes, sure. Depend, obviously, which kind of agreement, but based on the business plan that we do provide, the financial criteria foreseen in the business plan is in line with the investment grade company.
Many thanks.
The next question is from Marcin Wojtal with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for taking my question. First, can you comment on your stake in Hochtief? What is your level of commitment to this company? And maybe more broadly, You have been mentioning asset rotation. Is there any rotation in the pipeline for any of your international assets, perhaps including any of the assets of Abertis? Then question number two, this is on Autostrade. Can you clarify in your submission for the new economic plan, are you requesting an extension of Autostrade concession term, or perhaps you're asking for a terminal value to be recognized at the end of the concession? And lastly, this is just a clarification. Can you just clarify, would you consider going below 50% stake in Autostrade at some point, or you want to keep it above 50%? Just to be clear, thank you.
Thank you very much. First question about OPTIF, our stakes. First of all, I'd like to remind that the stakes that we have in OPTIF coming from the transaction made about the Abertis, and we are some industrial projects with them, but it is still under evaluation. And I like also to remind that one third of our stake is already protected by collar transaction that the company did last year. Aspi, if I understood well the questions, if we are considering some extension of length of the concession of a terminal value, frankly speaking, no discussion or proposal or idea about the extension of the current length of Autostrada per Italia scheme. It's remained 2038. Maybe the terminal value could be, I don't know, an element of a negotiation if there is some possibility to postpone some revenues, some cash from tariff increase for the end of the concession. But we are very financial, pay a lot of attention about the financial scheme, and there is some ratio in any case that we have to comply, because just to avoid some risk that our around the world concession taken about to move too much value at the terminal value. Maybe you know very well that based on the European Commission criteria, they indicate that in any case the terminal value cannot be higher than 1.5 times the EBITDA at the end of the concession. About the last questions, majority minority stakes in Autostrada per Italia, I think that I really answered the questions. It is very, very preliminary to speak about Autostrada per Italia process. There is some investor, Italian, international investor that is looking this kind of opportunity. But in the first phase, I have to say two things. One, obviously, without an agreement and clarity of a concession scheme, a regulatory in place is impossible, obviously, that some investor could be interested. And second, in the first phase, we are speaking about minority stake.
Thank you.
The next question is from Jose Arroyas with Santander. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. A couple of questions on Abertis. If you could clarify in the first place your plans to grow the business and if Brisa is still an option. And secondly, also on Abertis, the equity ticket associated with RCO was in the region of 1.5 billion euros. And I was wondering if that has the potential to be lowered on account of the depreciation of the Mexican peso. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I asked to Pepe to cover the points, and thank you very much, Pepe.
Okay, regarding the plan to grow, first of all, the priority always due to the most profitable is to look for opportunity in the current countries in which we are working on, because that allows us to maximize our profitability and minimize our risk. Secondly, we will be very selective looking for opportunities in new countries. As we did in Mexico, we continue being analyzing other countries, but with very prudent approach and always maintaining a financial discipline. And third, we remain also focused in some greenfield project or yellowfield project in the US and Canada and Australia market with the same criteria. The second related RCO, we continue with the same commitment in terms of CapEx. We hedge our investment. That means we expect to close the deal probably at the end of the first half.
Thank you very much, Pepe. Next one, please.
The next question is from Nicolò Pessina with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening again. Just a very quick follow-up. First of all, on RCO, again, I would like to know if we can have the timing of the closing of the deal. Second, on Brazil specifically, there have been a few auctions lately, but Arteries or Atlantia didn't bid for the asset for the new concessions awarded by the local authorities. So I'm wondering if there is any specific reason why you don't find the new auctions attractive. And the last question on ASP, if you can disclose how the value of the RAB is calculated in the new tariff model elaborated by the Transport Authority in Italy. Thank you.
Okay, first of all, regarding RCO, as I said before, we expect to close and to obtain all the approval at the end of June, then very soon. In any case, we have had some delays as a consequence of the COVID and also Easter period. That was normal delays in the conversation with different administrations. Talking about Brazil, we are active in Brazil. We have been analyzing some projects. As I said before, maintaining the financial discipline, we are seeing that people, some funds, are bidding in a very, very aggressive way with very low returns. We are not on that mood right now and never going forward. I mean, we try to apply our funds to current CapEx commitment with very high returns. And also we are expecting more opportunities, not only in Brazil, but also in other countries. More taking consideration that after the COVID-19 effect, we expect some positive reaction in our sector coming from the different government, for sure to promote new infrastructure investment in toll roads and in other sectors will be one of the priorities for many governments to relaunch the different economies. And that will open more opportunity for us.
About Brazil assets, and first of all, I'd like to point out, as Pepe did during the presentation, that some efficiency is already in place and is still going. It is important because this cross fertilization in terms of good practice, especially for permutation. But more in general, I think that is not right time now because there is also COVID effect. There's a lot of things to thinking about before some amalgamation between the assets. In general, I think that we can thinking about also to consider, I don't know, our combination not only with the asset of Abertis, but we have our local asset with our partners. About the RAB or RAB value of Autostrade per Italia, I think that it's too early to speak because there are a lot of material, a lot of calculation, a lot of details, but any kind of number that we can provide could be a wrong number or a lot of misinterpretation.
Sure. Many thanks.
The next question is from Nicola Mora with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. Just taking a big picture view, I have to admit I'm a little bit lost as to what's really your priority from here. So I understand you want, after the agreement on SP, you want to sell a stake there, but at the end of the day, within 2-3 years, where do you want to go? Do you want to grow? Do you want to shrink? Do you want to manage debt? Do you want to pay dividends? Do you want to do everything? I mean, there is a debt sustainability issue within Atlantia. How are you going to solve this first? Then what are you going to do? I mean, are you happy to be a holding company from here? Will you be valued by the market as such? I mean, I have to admit, I'm a bit lost. I understand you want to sell assets. That's fine, but how do you think you'll take the share price back to 25 euros with that strategy?
Well, thank you very much for the questions. It's about the future, the strategy of the company and the future of this entity and this company. Well, first of all, I think that we are to thinking about which is the amount of a future dividend that the company can receive from the subsidiary, is the first leg. And I don't know, if we think about the normalized amount dividend inflow could be, after COVID, obviously higher than 1 billion euro annual basis. We have to decide to allocate this kind of inflow, depend and we'll balance the dividend to the shareholder. We can decide to debt repayment or new investment opportunity. It's early to say right now because we are fighting with the COVID, but the first point that I like to point out that we are very close to the financial discipline first, and second, any kind of proposal that we made to the board of directors is in line to value creation. I know very well that it is general statements, but you have to consider the very special moment that we are living. And second, that I know the rotation of the asset could help us in both sides. One, reduction of debt, and second, to have firepower for growth.
Understood. If I may, so this is in terms of firepower, I mean, and growing implies you would be happy with, for example, a 30 billion amount of net debt, so around actually 4 times net debt EBITDA. That would be a level from which you would be happy to start growing again, or you need to be more cautious in a post-COVID world where debt acceptability is likely to be lower than basically your 2018 or 2019 level?
Oh, thank you again. First of all, I think that we have to moving in different world in different strategy. I mean, when you speak about 30 billion debt, is consolidated debt, is not debt of Atlantia, is the debt of some subsidiary that we own only some stakes, sometimes 50%, sometimes 80%, sometimes 100%. I think that, as I indicate in the chart about organization, one thing is Atlantia Holding, and one other thing is the operating company. If you continue to look Atlantia with the consolidated account, I think that is the wrong way to see the future strategy of Atlantia. Right now, I think that Atlantia is 5 billion euro in debt. I'm working about this kind of plan in the future to reduce imbalance with the dividends, but each one company take account the length of the concession, take account the capex plan, take account the dividend policy, have to finance its balance sheets. It's a completely different, I don't know, approach.
Okay, and if I may, a last one, so that applies obviously to Abertis, so you will get 50% of the dividend from them in a few days' time. These guys are your number one source of dividend today. How much pressure will you put on them to get some more dividends in the latter part of the year of 2021? I mean, how dependent are you in terms of flexibility to getting that Abertis dividend?
I think that, as I said before, I don't know, in the normal situation after COVID, we can expect that a higher than 1 billion of dividend for our subsidiary as inflow the proceeds. But depends of a different approach that we have. I think that there is some asset but able to pay attention between leverage, growth, dividend. At the end, we are speaking about the same terms of each one. But maybe if there is some project of a specific assets that intend to grow, I think that it is not our priority to extract as much as possible dividend of a single asset. If there is no investment opportunity, organic or non-organic, obviously the dividend is important. But, for example, right now, I'm speaking about Talabas. But Talabas paid more or less 600 million euro in dividend. In the future, I think kind of a lot of opportunity in the new world that we have. If the Talabas decides no pay dividend for some years because M&A activity could be very important, we are fine.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Gentlemen, the floor is back to you.
Yes, we have time for another one question. Yeah, thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Stefano Gamberini with Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Many thanks. Just two quick things. The first regarding AP7. So could you give us some color, if you can, regarding what could be the amount of this credit considering the current decline in traffic for Acesa, and if you already have some talks with the government for a solution, I don't know, an extension of the concession or some other solutions, even if the Supreme Court postponed any decision to 2021. The second question regarding page 9, you have a series of proposal submitted to the government. Could you share with us where you are more ready to do some to have more flexibility, and which are on the other side the items where you can change and are fundamental in the negotiation with the government. I refer in particular regarding the early termination and so the Article 35 of Milleproroghe.
Thank you very much for the question. I think that Pepe could be a right guy to answer about A7. He is very close to the situation of the topics.
For sure. Thank you, Carlo. Regarding the 87, the 87 saga will be resolved, or will the outcome will be from the Supreme Court. We have two different resolutions from the Supreme Court postponing the final decision up to the end of the concession. This concession will finish in August 2021. After that, regarding the gap between the traffic expected and the real traffic, we will go to the tribunal asking for the compensation. That amount will be around 2 billion, 2.4 billion. That depends on the gap. I mean, this traffic that we are losing right now will be included in the claim to the government. But in any case, the resolution will be probably end 2021 or later. That is difficult to predict, because the tribunal are very difficult to manage, and that will depend on how busy are the Supreme Court in Spain. That means, apart of that, we maintain other account receivable. Before taking consideration that this claim is out of our balance sheet. That means if we lose with no compensation, there is no impact in our financial statement. That could be only an upside. On top of that, we maintain an account receivable in the balance sheet and asking for the compensation of the investment that we did in the past, and we capitalized this account receivable, and that there is no any discussion with the government about this amount. I mean, in the past, never the government act against this account receivable. I mean, we expect not to have any issue at the end of the concession.
Thank you, Pepe. About the second questions, the flexibility during the around the negotiation with the proposal of the government on Autostrade per Italia, I think that first of all, it's not a question to be flexible, not flexible. The proposal is still there from March 5, and it's very comprehensive proposal that cover the most important point to have the condition to put in place very huge amount of capex and maintenance program. I think that it's so sensitive, any kind of information about this negotiation, that I don't know to cover the point in terms of which is more easy to achieve or more difficult to achieve. I think that we're speaking about a package, and for this reason, I like to speak about comprehensive proposal. Thank you very much for your time. I think that we appreciate these kind of questions, and we hope, obviously, that you appreciate the answer. And the day after tomorrow, the annual report will be available on websites, and we try to introduce and cover a lot of points and delivery as much as possible any information about the group. Thank you very much.